want you to turn to Psalm 33 tonight as we think about this being the birthday of our country, celebration. That's what 4th of July is. It's a celebration of when our nation was founded. It began 242 years ago. The original 13 colonies declared their independence from British tyranny. We know that. There were 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. They were very brave. These 56 men and their families, they paid a great price for the cause of freedom. And sadly, there's not a lot of people that have an appreciation for that anymore. Or for an appreciation for those who continue to lay their lives on the line that we might continue to have our freedoms, which is a sad thing. Of those 56 men, if 5 of them were captured and tortured by the British before they died, 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 of them lost their sons in the war. 1 had 2 sons captured. And 9 fought and died from wounds or the hardships of the war. A fellow by the name of Carter Braxton of Virginia, he was a wealthy planter and a trader. He saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home to pay his debts and he died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay. I wonder how many of those fellows today would serve without pay. They wouldn't, would they? Served in Congress without pay, and he died a very poor man. Thomas Nelson's home was seized by the British at the Battle of Yorktown and used as a command post. And he urged General George Washington to open fire on it. The home was destroyed, and he wound up dying bankrupt. Freedom and liberty have always exacted a price. And that's what Independence Day is all about. Remembering our beginnings as a nation. And my, how far we have gone from where we began. The spirit of independence that we celebrate was not meant to declare ourselves independent of God, but yet that's what we see much of our country wants to do. They don't want God in their lives. Let's read our scripture and let's get into the message tonight. I want to read this whole psalm. I'm really just going to deal with verses 10 through 22, and I thought about just reading those verses, but let's read the whole thing. It begins, "Rejoice in the Lord." And listen, that's what we rejoice in. Amen. "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with loud noise. For the Lord, word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord we were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations." You just think about how folks want to cast off the Lord. They want to cast off the counsel of God's word. They don't want to hear any of that God stuff. They don't want to hear about your Jesus. They don't want to hear about what the Bible says. But it's going to stand. Verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And we've forgotten that as a nation. You know, that's where our blessings came from, when God was the Lord. I know this applies to specifically to Israel, who is talking about, but any nation Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If you're a nation who looks to the Lord as being your God, and being your Lord, you're blessed. The people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Now, as I said, the spirit of independence that we celebrate was not meant to declare ourselves independent of God. We declared our independence from the tyranny of another nation. During my lifetime, our nation has been mostly steadily moving away from the Lord, as is evidenced by what we see in the public arena today. When you take a look, it's very, very sad to where we have come. I like the slogan that our president has chosen. He's taken some heat for it because he said, make America great again. And they said, there's a lot of them that say, well, America never stopped being great. But I read something that someone else posted, a person by the name of Grayson Massey, lives up in Charlotte, North Carolina. They wrote a little thing on Facebook that one of my friends posted there. But they asked some questions here regarding our proclaim of America's greatness. Does a great country murder 1.5 million babies a year? Does a great country forcibly confiscate money from its citizens and then give that money to an organization that butchers unborn babies? Does a great country ignore its own laws and tear its constitution to pieces? Does a great country become among the first in human civilization to dismantle the institution of marriage in favor of legitimizing sexual perversion? Is a great country so confused that it can't tell the difference between a male and a female? Does the nuclear family collapse in a great country? Does a great country have historically high rates of divorce, unwed pregnancy, and fatherless homes? Is pornography a multi-billion dollar industry in a great country? Are people threatened, fired, attacked, belittled, and ripped to shreds for having differing opinions in a great country? Does the government hand out contraceptives to children in a great country? Does a great country laugh at morality, reject reality, and put cross-dressers on a pedestal? Do adults in a great country so lack even the most rudimentary knowledge of their own great country that they can't even explain why their country celebrates the 4th of July? Our government is corrupt, feckless, and our political leaders are cowardly, self-serving. Yes, the Constitution is great, but it's still just a set of laws. If laws are ignored, they might as well not exist. The Bill of Rights can't make us great if we don't follow it, just like your running shoes can't make you fit if you don't put them on and go for a jog. So in what way is America great at the moment? Are we a moral beacon for the world now? What about leadership in government or education or the home? Is America's culture great in these respects? Judge America by any measure, moral, political, economic, social, cultural, and none of it points to greatness. Not by a long shot. Not even close. Not anymore. We talked about here the past. Because while we have declined rapidly, we also rose faster than any country before us. We accomplished incredible things. We stormed beaches, conquered tyrants, built cities. We invented and pioneered and innovated. We faced down evil and defeated it. We abolished slavery. We established civil rights for all. We beat the Nazis. We extinguished communism. We earned the title of a land of opportunity, a God-fearing land. We went to church. We raised our families. We worked. We loved. We prayed. It's a matter of historical record that America was a great country and an exceptional one. And it's also a fact that the historical record is just that, history. I love my country, but I do not love what it has become. I'm saddened at the apathy of the average citizen toward the problems listed. I do hope for revival of America's greatness. Amen. I mean, yep, we might not want to hear it, but it's true. You know, I thank God for our country. We wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And I thank the Lord for those that put their lives on the line to maintain our freedoms. But they're rapidly escaping us. They're slipping through our hands. And more as we get closer to the Lord coming back. God has been kicked out of most public institutions on the pretext of pluralism. There's a vocal minority that continues to use bully tactics to eliminate all vestiges of God. You just mentioned God in the public arena and somebody's going to try to shout you down or in some way do you harm. They try to silence those who would stand for God and right. But listen, folks, we got to stand for God and got to stand for right. We got to continue standing. We can't let ourselves be shouted down. We can't let ourselves be silenced. There have been times in American history when certain men stood for God and changed the course of its destiny. For example, at the first Constitutional Convention, the delegates were frustrated due to the burdens of the hour. They were burdened and harassed by a tremendous crisis that they were so fragmented that they were just about to throw out the whole concept of a constitution completely. Just then, Benjamin Franklin rose to his feet and said, "Gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek His face." There's the remedy there. They promptly got down on their knees, and when they arose from prayer, the slogan, "E Pluribus Unum," was born. Out of many, one. Can you imagine what would happen today if all of Congress would set aside partisanship and get down on the knees and pray? It's not going to happen because of one of the two major political parties is blatantly anti-God and anti-Christ. But that's what needs to happen. Our freedoms may have been forged by the Declaration of Independence, but today, as they did in that Constitutional Convention, we need a declaration of our dependence on God. Verse 10, there in our text, is, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Not only can a nation be blessed with that, but could I tell you that we as individuals, I mean, let's start at on a low level. Amen. It may never get to the level of our nation again. We can pray. Where does revival start? It starts in the heart of an individual. It starts in the heart of one. And then it goes from the heart of that one into the family. From the family into the church. From the church into the community. From the community, it can reach into the nation. America is a nation that was built upon Christian principles. Greece built a civilization on culture, and it failed. Rome built its civilization on power, and it crumbled. But our forefathers founded our nation on godly principles, and America will live as long as the Lord is her God. But in the days in which we live, that has been rapidly slipping away. You recall the picture of George Washington at Valley Forge. His little army was almost starving and freezing to death, and everything that they held dear was at stake. And they were fighting against seemingly insurmountable odds, but out in the snow, George Washington was down on his knees and he was praying. That is the spirit that built America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. America is a nation that has been richly blessed by God. There's no doubt about that. We have natural resources that's second to none. The natural beauty. I'm looking forward in October going out and seeing some of that natural beauty. And one of my bucket list items is to go to the Grand Canyon. And Lord willing, we're going to get to do it this time. We got knocked out by a wedding last time. Our son decided to get married, and we spent all of our Grand Canyon money on wedding. But here, 4 years later, we're going to try to do it once again. And we've been different places in this country and been able to see the great beauty of her. Decent government. We have, it's not perfect, but still it's the best. No concentration camps, no secret police, no one-man rule. Freedom of speech and the press. You know, I can still speak against the government from this pulpit without fear of reprisal. Yeah. We got religious freedom. There's no state church. A few people meeting in a little shack for prayer have the same rights as those meeting in a very large cathedral, you know. We live in a place in a country where everybody has a chance. Men like Edison, Henry Ford, who were born into poor families yet became millionaires. Abraham Lincoln was born and raised in a log cabin, made it to the White House, you know. So America's a nation that was built upon Christian principles. It's a nation that's been richly blessed by God. America, though, is a nation in need of God. It is because of that that we support church planting missionaries in the United States as part of our missions program. The Chings originally were supposed to be with us tonight. They had the opportunity. They're getting down to their last week before they head to their field. And he had the opportunity to go spend some time today with her mother. And just give them a little bit of a break, okay? But I can understand that. But when you think about our nation needs missionaries too. That's sad, but it's true. A certain family was riding down the highway one day and saw a sign with the word Jesus Saves, and the little girl in the back asked if it was a savings bank. 14-year-old boy was given a Gospel of John. He said, "What's that?" He was told it was part of the Bible. He says, "What's a Bible?" This is in our nation. A child attending Vacation Bible School went home and told her mother that her teacher was swearing because that's what she thought it was when the teacher used the name of Jesus. Because Jesus has become a byword. He's become a curse word in our nation. A woman was invited to attend a neighborhood Bible class and she declined, said that she was a Democrat. But what can we do? Well, the best thing we can do for America is to be a good Christian. Amen. Be the light and salt that God intended for us to be. Bloom where God has planted you. God will see your life and will use it to help continue to bless our nation in some small way. If we drift, there's no hope for our nation. Now, you can pray for revival in your own personal life, in the lives of your families, the life of our church, in our community, and in our nation. God has not stopped working. God's still at work. Pay attention to where the candidates stand on the issues. Exercise your right to vote. And pray for our president. And pray for all that are in authority. Depend on God as your true source of liberty. As your source of courage and spiritual power. Our country needs those who claim to be born again to declare themselves verbally and back it up with godly lifestyles. We don't just need people to talk. We need people that walk the walk, not just talk the talk. America needs churches who will one day put away their commitment to change man by changing his environment and replace it with the emphasis upon the need for a changed heart. That's where change is going to take place, when people's hearts are changed. And their hearts are changed by the gospel. Our country needs Christians everywhere who will truly love each other and thereby demonstrate that they are really children of God. Remember, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have one toward another." We need to pray that one day in our great nation that our boys and girls will be allowed to pray, read the Bible in public schools again. We need to pray that one day America will cease killing the unborn and cease paying for that. We need to pray that the family unit will be restored to its proper place in society as the very foundation of our nation. We need to pray that the church will once again become the centerpiece of the community. You realize that back when the founding of our nation, everything centered around the church. It did. And we need to get back to that being our centerpiece. Our place, where we look for comfort, inspiration, and moral leadership. We need to pray that the churches of America will be packed with folks that are hungry for God's Word. We need to pray that one day America will return to the faith of our founding fathers, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We need to get back to letting the Lord be our God. Amen. Be our Lord. And as we pray for our nation. Pray for the leaders of our nation. And as I pray, don't let your mind just drift. Pray as I pray. Amen. Let's pray together that God will hear our cries. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what we need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. It's still true, regardless of if folks don't want to hear it, regardless of if folks want to denigrate it, regardless if folks decide to live their lives in opposition to it. Lord, it's still your word, and it's still going to accomplish what you sent it to do. Lord, help us to be people of the book. Help us to be people of prayer. And Lord, help us to look to you, not only our God, but as our Lord. You said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Lord, it's more than just a title. It means that you're in control. You call the shots. Help us to get back to seeing that you call the shots in our lives. Lord, I pray for our nation and this, the birthday of our nation. Lord, I pray for those that are in authority, the president, the vice president, the Senate, House members, and the judges. God of our nation, Lord, we have gone far away from the principles that you laid down, that were laid down by those that followed you when our nation was founded. Lord, help us to get back to the place where we need to be. May there be a revival in our hearts that will extend out from ourselves. And Lord, who knows how far it will go if we'll just begin with us. Lord, we pray for others in authority at every level of government. Lord, that you might direct their hearts. You help us to be the citizens that we ought to be. Lord, we've been given the privilege to be able to vote. Lord, help us to not waste our vote. Help us to not sit on our vote. But Lord, to vote our convictions, our biblical convictions, and to hold our politicians accountable. Lord, we need some statesmen rather than just politicians. Help us to find some statesmen and vote for them. Lord, we pray for the upcoming selection of the new Supreme Court Justice. I pray you give our president wisdom. Lord, I pray that you will eradicate any opposition that he might face in getting the person that the Lord would help us get back to you. And Lord, we just pray for those that protect our land, whether it be our armed service members or our law enforcement officers. Lord, we just thank you for each one that lays their life on the line each and every day to help us continue to enjoy the freedoms that we have. We know that right now that there are folks who would want to bring our nation to our knees in submission to them. Lord, help us to get on our knees in submission to you to keep that from happening. And just give us a good rest of the week. Bring us back again on this Lord's Day, Lord, to worship you and to serve you and to hear from you. And just help us to come on purpose Sunday, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.